bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again we come before you. And Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit not only teach us, but help us to realize what you are telling us and help us to live your words and live for you not only today, but every day of our life. And be with this service now and this message, that it is your message and all glory goes to you. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture text for today is found in Mark chapter 7, beginning at verse 5. We'll stand at the reading of God's holy word. Mark chapter 7, beginning at verse 5. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" He answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men.' For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers, cups, and many other such things you do." He said to them, "All too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'He who curses father or mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, 'If a man says to his mother or father, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, that is, a gift to God,' then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do." When he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. We can look back and maybe start from the back end of this text. Jesus says, "Let him who has ears to hear, hear and understand." We find in Revelation, as Jesus spoke to the churches, he ends every one of them, "Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. And also let him understand what the Word of God says." If we look back in our Old Testament lesson, we go back even before the writing there in Jeremiah chapter 15, and we find that Jeremiah was complaining to God of how nobody had listened to him and how he had not had any one come to him and accept Christ or accept God as their personal Lord. And so Jeremiah, being the weeping prophet that he was called, he was one that kept proclaiming the word. Now he'd gotten despondent, he'd felt down in the dumps, and he was down and degraded. He had been thrown in jail, he'd been thrown into prison, in the dungeons. He had been thrown into the cisterns hoping to drown. They had persecuted him, they had beaten him, and he had very few friends. But yet he was complaining to God, and God tells him, as we read, "Return to me." And God is telling us the same thing. Return to me and take the precious words of my mouth and of my life and the law that never changes, and take that out of all the vile stuff that we have in the tradition of men and serve me. And I will take and put you back as a prophet before the Israelites and before Judah. And in doing that, you will be placed back where you were. You will be protected, and I will take care of you, and I will watch over you. And he tells them, he tells Jeremiah, he says, you know, they may come against you, but I will watch over you and protect you. And he's telling us the same thing, that if we trust in him, if we repent of our sins, and we repent of our ill doings and our ill thoughts, and the things that has kept us from serving the God that we should serve, he will again come to us and help us to live for him, and that the Holy Spirit can have first place in each one of our hearts and our lives. We see then John, which wrote not only the Gospel of John, he also wrote Revelation and the three epistles of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And you go back to verse 23 and 24 in the preceding chapter, and you see that this is God's command, that we serve the God that sent Jesus Christ into the world. Our job is to believe that God sent Christ into the world. Our job is to believe and accept that Christ came into the world to die for our sins, and that we should love one another. And in that love, even though we're persecuted, even though we're made fun of, that God says, I will protect you and keep you. And in keeping us, he will watch over us, and he will make sure that if we trust in him continually, that our souls would be saved and they would be placed in a place of good ground where we can bring forth 60, 30, 60, or 100-fold profit or people into the kingdom of God. What is it then that hinders us? We find Jesus speaking here to the people, and he says, you have the tradition of men, and in those traditions, you have all kinds of things that you have set up, your own laws, if you do this and you follow this. And in their case, he's talking about the washing of dishes and clean hands. And I know many of you, I'm sure, have had lunch or something and not washed your hands thoroughly. And so you've eaten, and you would be, in the Jewish tradition, you would be sinning because you didn't wash your hands and eat food from clean hands. We find, and as Jesus says, you clean the outside to make it look good, but inside you are vile, and inside you have evil thoughts. You have evil thoughts and evil doings. You have animosity against one another, is what he's saying. And in that, as long as you have that, the Spirit of God cannot work in you. He says, clean the inside. Clean your heart, clean your soul, clean your life up, and have Christ first. You know, Jesus died on our cross for us, and we can sing the song, there's room at the cross for one more. Even though there are millions that have come to Christ, there's always room for one more. Praise God that there's always room for one more. And even though one more comes, there's still room for another one to come and accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And we find God speaking to Ezekiel in chapter 33. And God tells Ezekiel this. He says, the people will come to you. The people will sit down. They'll listen to you. And they will, with their mouth, praise the Lord. Yet, in their heart and in their life, they are looking out for themselves and only for personal gain. They're looking out where they can gain the most, and they're not thinking of eternity. They're not thinking of what happens when you die. They're not thinking about the life beyond. They're not realizing that God gave us life in the first place, that God is the one that has given us the breath of life, and that life is what's in us today. Satan will do everything he can to keep us from thinking into the future or to realize that God gave us the breath of life. Yet we know that the time is coming for each one of us, that when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we know we have to answer for what we have done in this life. Jesus says, if you have me as your personal Lord and Savior, all your sins are forgiven. You will be cleared and clean, and you'll stand before God, clean and holy, and you will be given the crown of life. But if you have aught against your brother, as John says in chapter 5, he says, how can you say you love God and have aught against your brother? That aught is not only ill feelings, maybe, but evil thoughts or wrong thoughts or thinking wrong. And how many times Satan will do everything he can to put into your mind thoughts wrongly about someone. I visited with a man one day, and he told me, he says, I know everything you say is right, but I'm not sure I want that. How do you respond? You try and explain to him that either he is going to be in heaven or in hell. You try and explain to him to make him realize that life here is short. You try to explain to him that his eternal being depends on what he does with Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. Does he accept Jesus and take him in and repent of his sins, or does he continue on as he is doing in life itself? And so many times we find that people will want to keep on going for their own gain. As Ezekiel was told by God, he says, God says, they'll come and listen to you. On the outward, they'll even make great pretenses, but inwardly, they only want what they can get today. And we find that so very, very much. John says, if they are not willing to confess that Jesus came in the flesh, they are not of God. Test the spirits and see what they say. We have people, and I know people that have professed to be Christians, and yet they will question the Bible. They will question, how was the world created? How did God really send Jesus into the world? How did God lay aside his glory in heaven and become man through birth of the Virgin Mary? How did God live and preach for those 3 years, telling us that unless we turn to him, and unless we do the will of God the Father, believing on his Son who he sent into the world, that we would not have eternal life? And yet we wonder about many of these things, and we claim to be Christians. Yes, there are a lot of answers that we don't know. And we know God will teach us and will keep on teaching us through eternity about his love. And we wonder how great was that love before sin entered the world. You see, when sin entered the world, it drew a veil or blinded us from the truth, the purity of God, the love of God, how God made creation and how he made a special garden for Adam and Eve, and yet they chose to not follow him. They had everything they needed. They had everything that a person could want, and yet they chose to go against God and to follow Satan through the cunningness of the devil. The devil himself at one time was before the throne of God as an angel of light. he rebelled and has been kicked out or thrown out of heaven. Today, Satan, why God is allowing him to still accuse us before him, I do not know. But I do know that the time is coming when he will not be allowed in heaven. And when he is not allowed in heaven, it tells us in Revelation, he'll come to earth and he will be angry. And he will draw all people he can to himself to set up his own kingdom here on earth. And the tribulation period will start. We find in the fifth seal of the tribulation period that under the altar in heaven is the martyrs up to that point. And they claim and they cry out to God, Lord, how long are you going to wait before you bring vengeance on the people for what they have done to us? And they're given white robes and they're told to wait a while because there are other brothers and sisters that'll have to die in the Lord, and then the end will come. You see, when you think about the martyrs that have died for the word and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, and then you look, when Christ was crucified, he hung on that cross, and at 12 noon, when the sun is the brightest, it became dark. Dark like sin. And that battle between God and Satan, or Christ and Satan, took 3 hours. And then the light came back on. You know, Jesus says, if your body is dark, how dark is that darkness? Is there any way that the light is penetrating through that darkness at all? Is there any way that that light is penetrating enough so that it will take and shatter the darkness and the darkness will flee? And God is light and God is love. We see at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the light came back on in the world and Satan was defeated. Christ has defeated Satan for us. Christ came in the flesh for us. Christ left his glory in heaven for us. And as he did that, he doesn't want us only to sit and listen. He wants us to read, to pray, and to be willing to step out of our comfort zones and to do his will, to pray for those around us. And we pray that this is what each one of us would do. We have prayer to go and have communications with God, not to only tell God what we want, but let him tell us what he wants us to do, that he can lead us, guide us, and that we can have the peace which passes all understanding. It has come to me, and I will tell you a little more about it maybe next week. But God wants us to pray for this community, for each other. And in that prayer, not only will people start coming to church, they will be open to hear the word. And as they're open to hear the word, they will come to hear it. Be willing to spread that word through the gospel, through God speaking to you. Do not fear rejection. Jesus says, they rejected me, they'll reject you. And in that rejection, they aren't rejecting you, God says, they're rejecting me, they're rejecting God. But we want to spread the word of God. And it is our duty as Christians not only to pray in general, but to pray for our loved ones, to pray for those around us, if we have any ill thoughts, to ask for forgiveness and repentance and to get our lives straight with Him, that we too can go forward in His field of harvest because it's white unto harvest. Let us pray that God will not only help us and keep us, but as we pray, we want God to have the blessing and the glory and the honor that belongs to Him. And it starts with us, that we not only wash the outside of the vessel, but that we take time to pray, to forgive, to be willing to speak out and live out in such a way that people will see Christ in us and glorify God the Father Almighty. It is our duty, and it is our sacred duty, because we have Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, that we should be willing and want to tell others about Him, and that we should be willing and want to tell how Christ died on Calvary's cross for each one of us. And as He died for each one of us, He died for those who aren't here, for our loved ones, for those who we come in contact with and have the opportunity to tell them about how wonderful God has been to us and how He upholds us. And Satan will attack us, but God says, I will protect you and I will keep you, as we trust in Him above all things. Let us then go forward, not only doing as the tradition of men, but that we do the will of God and let the Holy Spirit flow out from us, that we find we are led not only by His Spirit, but we are led by Christ Himself every day in all things. Pray for those who may despitefully use us, and pray for those who come and pretend that they are Christians, but that they would be pricked in their hearts and in their lives to have Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, and they would go forward praising Him and glorifying Him in all ways of their life. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would watch over us and keep us in Your care. Help us, O Lord, as we go forward, that we don't do as Jesus told us in Matthew, of the woes of the hypocrites and the Pharisees. Help us not to be hypocrites, but to be Your servants in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 565.